Canto 5, Chapter 1, entitled The Activities of Maharaj Priyavrat, Text 23. Itiha vavasa jagati patir ishvarechayadhiniveshita karmadhikaro Akhila jagata bandha dhvamsana paranubhavasya bhagavattadi purushasyangri yukalanavita dhyana bhuvanena parirandita kashaya shayo vandatopi manavardhano mahatam mahitalam anushashasa. Please repeat the word to word translations. Iti, quote by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Following the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Maharaj Priyavrat, fully engaged in worldly affairs, yet he always thought of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are the cause of liberation from all material attachment. Although Priyavrat Maharaj was completely different, although Priyavrat Maharaj was completely freed from all material contamination, he ruled the material world just to honor the orders of his superiors. Purport. The words Mana Vardhano Mahatam, just to show honor to superiors, are very significant. Although Maharaj Priyavrat was already a liberated person and had no attraction for material things, he engaged himself fully in governmental affairs just to show respect to Lord Brahma. Arjuna had also acted in the same way. Arjuna had no desire to participate in political affairs or the fighting at Kurukshetra. But when ordered to do so by the Supreme Lord Krishna, he executed those duties very nicely. One who always thinks of the lotus feet of the Lord is certainly above all the contamination of the material world. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Yogi namapi sarvesham madgatenantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam same yuktattamo mataha. Of all the yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. Maharaj Priyavrat, therefore, was a liberated person and was amongst the highest of yogis. Yet, superficially, he became the emperor of the universe in accordance with the order of Lord Brahma. Showing respect to his superior in this way was another of his extraordinary qualifications, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 6.17.28. Narayana para sarve na kutaschana bibhyati swarga pavarga narakeshu api tulyartha darshinah. A devotee who is actually advanced is not afraid of anything, provided he has the opportunity to execute the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the proper explanation of why Priyavrat engaged in worldly affairs, although he was a liberated person. Also, only because of this principle does a Mahabhagavat, who has nothing to do with the material world, come down to the second platform of devotional service to preach the glories of the Lord all over the world. Om Namo Bhagavate Vancha Kalpataruvyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayvacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. In this wonderful purport and translation, Srila Prabhupada is throwing light on a wonderful secret of Krishna consciousness. In the last few verses we have seen a transcendental dialogue between Lord Brahma, Narada Muni, Swayambhuva Manu, directed towards one personality, Maharaj Priyavrat. In yesterday's class, His Grace Shikshashtakam Prabhu very sweetly narrated how the consciousness of Maharaj Priyavrat was fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna because he was following the orders of his guru, Narad Muni, and thus he was fixed in his renunciation. Brahmaji convinced Maharaj Priyavrat that although your externals will change, rather than being a renunciate, living on the Mandarachal mountain, you will be living in a huge palace surrounded by so much material opulence. But your consciousness will still remain fixed in Krishna. So Shikshashtakam Prabhu sweetly explained that how, if the Krishna element, if the Krishna Tattva element is present, then the externals become secondary. For a sadhaka, the externals inspire one to surrender to Krishna. For example, if one is associating with people in the mode of goodness, if the environment is in the mode of goodness, one lives clean, a very clean life, then that goodness environment inspires a person to practice devotional service. It becomes easier for that person to engage in the rules and regulations of devotional service. However, if one is already fixed in devotional service, if one is already having Krishnamati, one's mind is fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna, then it does not matter whether the external environment has got passion, ignorance or goodness. A devotee becomes expert at engaging all the material facilities in Krishna's service. That was the sum and substance of Shikshashtakam Prabhu's class yesterday. That one's mind is fixed on Krishna. Like Prabhupada explains in the purport over here, that Arjuna had no interest in fighting the battle of Kurukshetra. He was happy to be in the forest, begging throughout his life. In fact, he gave so many reasons that he does not want to fight the battle of Kurukshetra. But Krishna incited him to become angry. Now, anger is a product of the mode of passion. So, was it that Arjuna became angry and he became passionate and he fell down after hearing Bhagavad Gita? This is a major confusion in the minds of ordinary people. They think that religiosity means one should be non-violent, simple and peace-loving. And here we find the greatest of all books, the Bhagavad Gita, and the first recipient of that transcendental knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna. What are his activities after hearing the Gita? Karishya Vachanantava. He picks up his bow and kills, along with his army, 64 crore people. One of the largest wars in history ever. So people are confused. Arjuna is fighting. One has to be violent, non-violent. What should one do? So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada explains the secret. What it means to be Krishna conscious. The words mana vardhano mahatam, just to show honor to the superiors, is very significant. This is the sum and substance of how one can fix one's mind on Krishna. As he was explaining, how the Krishna element comes into one's life. When the Krishna element comes, then everyone around you becomes satisfied. The demons are satisfied. The devotees are satisfied. Everyone is satisfied when Krishna comes into the picture. But how to bring the Krishna element into the picture? How to bring Krishna into our lives? That Prabhupada explains in today's purport. By showing honor to the superiors, the instructions coming from the mouth of the superiors who are connected to Krishna, then one can actually attain liberation. So in the scriptures, there are two types of liberations explained. The imaginary liberation and the factual liberation. What is the imaginary liberation? The imaginary liberation is of the Mayavadis or the immature impersonalists. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained, Yene ravindaksha vimuktamaninas tvayasta bhavata vishuddha buddhayah vimuktamaninas. That means they are imagining, manana, vimukta, that I have become liberated from the bondage to material life. That is imaginary liberation. Now why is this this liberation called imaginary? Tvayasta bhavat avishuddha buddhayah. Because their intelligence is impure. As long as one's intelligence is impure, one can never become liberated from this material world. Birth after birth, one will be bound to the three modes of material nature. So, through knowledge, through speculation, through performing some yoga, one may imagine in one's mind that, oh, now I become peaceful. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Everything is Shanti now. Now I'm liberated. There are no problems in my life. Prabhupada says, immediately after their 3-minute or 3-hour of meditation, that person immediately has to wake up and go for a smoke or a drink. And then he is immediately caught by the three modes of material nature. That is his liberation. Imaginary liberation. He feels that I have got Shanti for some time. However, the scriptures explain there is something called real liberation or factual liberation. What is that? How to achieve that? That is the subject matter of the discussion between Mother Devahuti and Lord Kapila. After Lord Kapila explains in great detail to Mother Devahuti how a living entity becomes liberated by the clutches of material nature. In great detail the Sankhya philosophies explain how he becomes freed from gross material attachment, then how he gives up his false ego and everything merges into the material elements. Mother Devahuti hears it, but she is not convinced, nor is she satisfied at heart. So she again asks Lord Kapila a very interesting question. She says that just like earth cannot be separated from its aroma, yatha gandasya bhumescha, bhumi, earth, or any material substance has an aroma. And through that aroma, one can understand what that substance is. For example, a flower has an aroma, then a ditch has its aroma. Any material substance has an aroma. Different foods have their aroma. So the aroma and the substance cannot be separated. Or water and its taste cannot be separated. Apam rasas chaya yatha, just like water has its taste. So just like water and its taste cannot be separated, or earth and its aroma cannot be separated, similarly, a living entity and the body cannot be separately known. In the purport, Prabhupada explains, it's just like if the soul leaves the body, then the body has no separate life or existence. It's dead. It has no activity. And if you separate the soul from the body, then the soul is inconceivable. One cannot conceive or understand the soul separate from the body. Like, you know, one time some Russian scientists, they put a dead body in a glass chamber. They put a person who was about to die in the glass chamber. And just when he died, the glass broke. So they were very happy to have found a proof for the existence of the soul. They said, as soon as the person died, the soul left the body and the glass broke, and therefore the soul broke through the glass and left. But this is a very foolish understanding. Devotees will not accept this as an ordinary proof for the soul. Why? Because the soul is so subtle that it can easily pass through glass. If the ray of sunlight can pass through glass, the soul is more subtle than fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and even ego. So, separate from the existence of the body, the soul is inconceivable. Although we talk of the soul as separate in this world, we cannot understand the soul separate from the body. So Devahuti is asking, how can you separate the soul from the body? How can the soul become liberated from matter? Since time immemorial, both are attracted to each other. The soul is attracted to matter, and matter has captured the soul.
Is it possible for anyone to become liberated? Can he be freed? So then, Lord Kapila Dev starts answering her question with a very beautiful verse. He says, Animitta nimittena swadharmena malatmana tivrayamai bhaktyacha shruta samrittaya chiram.
He says, Animitta nimittena swadharmena malatmana. Even while living in this world, one, while performing one's swadharma, amalatmanaha, one can become freed from the modes of material nature. One can become completely liberated. Not vimukta manina, not imagined liberation, real liberation. And how is that? Tivrayamai bhaktyacha, by performing intense devotional service. Tivrayamai bhaktyacha. And how to perform that devotional service? Shruta samrittaya chiram. By hearing from the advanced devotees, the pure devotees, for a long, long time. This is the secret that Lord Kapila tells Devahuti. If you want to become liberated from the modes of material nature, then one must practice devotional service, and thereby hearing from the devotees for a long, long time. Shrutaya chiram. Now, what is the power of hearing from the devotees for a long time? That is explained in the purport very beautifully by Srila Prabhupada. First, Srila Prabhupada quotes Sridhar Swami and says that just like if there is a police department, now everybody in the police department is not a criminal. Just because you are in touch with the police department, that doesn't mean you become a criminal. Even the police are in touch with the police department. So they are not criminals. They are not bound by the laws of the jail. Similarly, if a person is connected to Krishna, is connected to the personalities outside this material world, then that person is like a policeman. And when he comes in touch with this world, he does not become bound by the laws of this world. So the secret is that one has to awaken one's connection to the original world, the spiritual world from where we have come. And how to do that? By hearing from the devotees for a long time. Because the Vedas explain that originally we are spirit souls coming from the kingdom of God, and we have become bound in this world. So how to become freed? That is when we hear from the devotees. The consciousness of the living entity becomes cleaned. So Prabhupada explains, clear consciousness means Krishna consciousness. So when one's consciousness becomes clear, then when one acts in this world, one does not become bound. And then Prabhupada quotes, Yajna arthat karmana vanyatra lokoyam karma bandhanah. If you perform your activities for yajna, for Krishna, then one becomes liberated. Anyatra, one becomes caught in this material world. Kapila Dev gives a very beautiful example in the next verse. How it happens. He says that this whole material world is like a blazing forest fire. And a living entity is burning in this forest fire. However, if one seriously discharges devotional service, then the very cause of the fire that at the burning sticks is consumed by the fire. One's devotional service, which one performs in this world, although this world is like a fire, and although the cause of that fire is the material world, the modes of material nature, the devotional service is so wonderful that the cause of the fire is itself destroyed, and then slowly, slowly the fire is also subsided. In this way, a living entity becomes completely peaceful and happy. He is burning in the fire, he is suffering. That suffering is the suffering of the living entity in this world. What is the cause of that fire? his engagement in the activities of this world. But devotional service is so wonderful, even within this world, that the cause, which are the material activities and the fire, both are destroyed. And then, how to practically apply it in our life, that he explains in the next verse. What should a devotee do so that he can seriously engage in devotional service, so that he can actually hear from the devotees for a long time, so that the whole material fire from which he is suffering is finished? What should he do? That he explains in a very beautiful verse. He says, Bhukta bhoga parityakta drishta dosha cha nityashah neshvarasya shubham datte sve mahimni stitasya cha. The first thing a devotee should do is bhukta bhoga parityakta drishta dosha cha nityashah. He should see that I am trying to enjoy this material world, and that is my greatest fault. So, a devotee should go deep within his or her heart and see the faults that he or she has in trying to enjoy this material world. And how long should he or she see his or her own faults? Nityashah. As long as one is bound in this world, bhukta bhoga parityakta, one has to give up this desire for enjoyment by constantly observing one's own faults. How I am trying to enjoy in this material world, and every time I try to enjoy, I suffer. However, if one simply keeps seeing one's own faults, then one will become very miserable. Like Satyarup Maharaj explains, that if actually our anarthas are revealed to us, we will become so depressed, because there are huge mountains of anarthas in our heart. Therefore, Krishna causelessly, mercifully covers them up, so that we can exist in sanity within this world. Otherwise, one will go crazy. One will become depressed and neurotic as to how sinful and how much dirt I have in my heart. So, two things have to be done. One is, we have to go into our heart. We have to see our own faults and mistakes in trying to enjoy this world, again and again that we are trying. Like one time, Srila Prabhupada was walking on a beach, and there was a fisherman catching fish. So, that fisherman saw Sadhu, great Sadhu Srila Prabhupada, walking with his disciples. So he offered Srila Prabhupada something he wanted to offer, and what he had was a fish. So Srila Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, please accept this. So Prabhupada said, no. You enjoy. I don't want it. You enjoy. So the disciples were wondering, what is this? He enjoy fish? Prabhupada is benedicting him that you enjoy fish? Then Prabhupada walked ahead a little and said, then you suffer also. So in this world, a living entity is trying to enjoy in so many ways, and the living entity suffers also. So one has to see what all activities that I am performing with my body and my mind, which are leading to my own suffering. At the same time, one should know that it is not possible by his own endeavor that one will be able to come out of this suffering condition, come out of this dirty condition, this diseased condition that one has fallen in. For that, one has to hear for a long time. Now, what is the power in hearing, in following the instructions of the superiors, as is explained in this verse? That Prithu Maharaj explains in a beautiful verse in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He says that an advanced devotee, due to his serving the lotus feet of the Lord, is in connection with the lotus feet of the Lord. And at the lotus feet of the Lord, there are many, many saffron dust particles which are stuck and strewn around the lotus feet of the Lord. So as soon as an advanced devotee speaks, the articulation of his voice, the movement of his lungs, the movement of his voice box may appear to be like sound in the material world, but there is a difference. What is the difference? That sound coming from a pure devotee is mixed with the saffron mercy dust particles coming from the lotus feet of the Lord. Sautama shloka mahan mukhachyuto Bhavat padamboja sudakana nilaha. Bhavat padamboja sudakana anilaha. When a great devotee speaks from his heart, because he has the lotus feet of the Lord within his heart, when he speaks, the saffron mercy particles of the Lord mixes with his sound and comes into the receptive heart of the hearer. What happens when this sound particle enters the heart of a devotee? Smritim punarvis mritatattva vartaman kuyogi namna vitaratya lambavai. Smritim punar vismrita tattva vartamanam. It is explained that a living entity has forgotten himself. Just like a person who is sleeping. If a person goes to sleep, that person forgets all the activities that he is supposed to perform. Similarly, the soul is sleeping in this material world. He does not know his eternal activities in connection with Krishna. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Jiva jago, jiva jago. Gaura Chanda bole, Jiva jago, wake up. How can the soul wake up? That is possible through the powerful sound coming from the mouth of a pure devotee. When that sound vibration enters the heart, then the jiva, he awakens. And from a kuyogi, becomes a suyogi. He actually awakens his original nature and he becomes actually liberated from this world. So real liberation doesn't mean to imagine that, oh, I have given up everything, I have given up money, I have given up family, and now I'm experiencing some shanti. That is an understanding of a neophyte personality. That I'm suffering so much in this world, so let me give up everything of this world, and I will become liberated. That is Falgu Vairagya, or imaginary renunciation, or liberation. Real liberation means that one hears from the great devotees, by which one's consciousness becomes clean, and then one acts according to the instructions of those devotees. Iha yasya harir dasye karmana manasagira nikhilashu avasthapi jivan muktasya uchate. Such a person is considered to be really liberated, even while being in this world. Just like in a police department, the policeman is a liberated person from the jail. So that is real liberation. Therefore, to become liberated, one has to follow in the footsteps of the great souls by hearing their instructions. And in hearing, there is one most important quality required. That is submissiveness. Tadviddhi pranipatena. Pariprashna and sevaya. By hearing, one performs service. But the first quality is one must submissively hear. Therefore, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote this beautiful poem for Haridas Thakur, he said, he reasons ill who says that Vaishnavas die, for thou art still living in sound. Vaishnavas die to live, and while living, try to spread the holy name around. So those who think that Vaishnavas die, they are mistaken, because Vaishnavas live forever. How? In sound vibration. So there are two ways to serve the Vaishnavas. The Vapu and the Vani. The body, service, and serving the instructions. The body may be there for some time, but the instruction is eternal. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada has dedicated the Srimad Bhagavatam. See, the Krishnamukhi dedicated to his father, Gaur Mohan Day. The Bhagavad Gita he dedicated to Baldev Vidyabhushan, who wrote the Govinda Bhashya commentary. And the Srimad Bhagavatam, he dedicates it to Om Vishnupad Paramhams, spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. And just below that, the dedication, Srila Prabhupada writes a $1,000,000 instruction. He first says that I dedicate this book to my spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And then below that he writes, he lives forever by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him eternally. He lives forever by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him. So not only should one hear for a long time, but submissively put into practice what one has heard, then one's mind will become fixed in Krishna. That is the sum and substance of why Priyavrat Maharaj agreed to give up his renunciation, to accept worldly duties and still remain liberated. As explained in this verse. Why? Because he heard from Lord Brahma, his doubts became cleared, and then he acted upon what he heard from Lord Brahma. And thus, even though he was engaged in activities of this world, because he was following the instructions of his superior Lord Brahma, who is connected to Krishna, he was always liberated. Now, in the future verses, we will see what are the liberated activities of Maharaj Priyavrat. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I think we have gone beyond time, so we'll stop here. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.